Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, December 15th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe's civil servants are unsettled over government's silence on this year's bonuses, with only 10 days left before Christmas Day.
We are going to a point where we really need to meet urgently with government so that they can give us their timeline. They can share with us the plan that they have. Now that the year is coming to an end, now that the rainy season is here.
About 14 people have been reportedly infected with anthrax in Imzungane District, Matabeleland South Province.
And the opposition MDCT questions Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa about his failure to allocate funds for provincial authorities in his proposal for the budget for 2016.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
With only 10 days left before Christmas Day, Zimbabwean civil servants are worried and unsettled by the government's silence on this year's bonuses. Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani says they are worried that nothing is being done by the government to pay the traditional 13th check, with reports that even the country's armed forces did not receive their bonuses as expected today. The armed forces were supposed to have received their bonuses last month, but the government failed to deliver. Gundani tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that they are putting pressure on the government to announce dates for paying the bonuses.
As the situation stands at the moment, no civil servant has started receiving any bonuses at all. So, which is an issue which we have gone to a point where we really need to meet urgently with government so that they can give us their timelines, they can share with us the plans that they've made. Now that the year is coming to an end, now that the rainy season is here, a lot of the civil servants are involved in farming. Now that it's secured places for Form 1, Grade 1, and so on, preparations need to be underway. It's holiday time for some of the civil servants. It is important that travel plans are made and also plans for the beginning of next year are made. So we are still awaiting a very important meeting which will clear this air. And we want that this meeting should come very soon.
Are you planning to approach the government over the debts?
Government is well aware of this. We have written letters and we are in the process of communicating over and over again over this matter. For the past month or so, getting into November through October, we have been talking about this thing. So now we are just waiting. We want to believe that this meeting must come very soon. So we have been pressurizing government for this meeting. We are alive to this matter, and it is very important for us in the leadership that we give priority to this matter, and this is exactly what we are. So government should now come forth and honestly communicate with us and put this matter to rest.
Richard Gundani is the Apex Council chairperson. He spoke with reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
About 14 people have been reportedly infected with anthrax in Umzingwane District, Matabeleland South Province, where at least 40 cattle are said to have died from the disease. Veterinary and agritech officers in the region declined to comment, saying only Agriculture Minister Joseph Made was supposed to talk to the press about this issue. Made was not responding to calls made on his mobile phone. According to some members of a response team sent to monitor and contain the anthrax outbreak, efforts are being made to ensure that the infected meat does not reach nearby towns and cities.
A Parliament today started analysing the 2016 national budget, but proceedings started a bit late after MDCT lawmakers complained that Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa had violated the constitution by not allocating funds to provincial governments. MDCT Parliamentary Chief Whip Innocent Gonese told Parliament the constitution compels the government to allocate at least 50% of the national budget to provinces. He added that commissions set up by the government should be allocated funds, but complained that this did not happen.
We now have a situation where, for instance, their allocation are being put under the Ministry of Justice, which is a flagrant violation of the constitution.
Chinamasa said he is unable to disperse any funds to provincial governments because there is no law that guides such kind of disbursement. He called on the parliament to come up with such a law.
Parliament must provide. That has not been done. There is no act of parliament to guide me on how I should allocate resources in the local.
That was Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa speaking earlier in Parliament today. Zimbabwe's constitution compels the government to allocate funds to provincial authorities and commissions.
How are you? How are you? How are you? How are you? We are greeting you.
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
Most pensioners in Zimbabwe are struggling to make a living, with some of them barely managing to have a decent meal a day. Their savings vanished when the country's dollar lost value and was subsequently dumped in 2009. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa speaks to some of the pensioners who are living from hand to mouth.
75-year-old pensioner Mketiwa Chifamba was hoping to live a normal life after retiring from 10 years of service at the Cold Storage Commission, or CSC, which was once a reputable state-controlled entity. Chifamba's problem started when he went to the National Social Security Authority, or NASA, offices in Chinoy, Mashonaland and West Province, countless times to submit his work termination papers. After presenting all the relevant information to the authorities, he thought his nightmare was over, but it seems as if that was the beginning of his long frustrations with the government social security scheme. Today, Chifamba, who is afflicted with an undisclosed illness, says the $100 he gets from government does not cater for his medication and daily needs. Chifamba is not alone in this predicament, as more than 100 pensioners who attended a Chinoy session of the Commission of Inquiry into the conversion of insurance and pensions from the defunct local dollar to United States dollars said they are surviving on God's will. Henry Zezai, who worked for 33 years as a teacher, says he once received a check from the government, and when he attempted to bank it, he was told that the money had been reduced to cents.
They gave me a lump sum, put it in the bank with the hope that I will invest when I get better. When I got better, it was nothing. I was told you have nothing in the account had closed.
Zezai says his $60 monthly pension is not enough to pay for his high blood pressure and asthma tablets and other basic necessities.
I can't get my tablets.
Kadoma based pensioner Gladman Mukotsote, hopes of buying a house after retirement went up in smoke when the Zimbabwe dollar tanked.
We are getting nothing or peanuts.
He believes that pensioners should get compensation from the government, which they blame for failing to run a functional economy that led to the erosion of their pension benefits. Chifamba echoed the same sentiments, noting that it is said that they are suffering when NASA invested a lot of their funds in the property market and other ventures.
They should compensate us because from 1972 I was contributing and my pension had value.
For pensioner Geshem Mugadza, the best solution to their challenges is for the government to standardize the conversion of their pensions from the defunct local dollar to the United States dollar.
The government should standardize the conversion figure with all the companies so that those who contributed something to the companies, they should get something, even if it is little, but at least something rather than nothing.
Asked about the total number of pensioners in Zimbabwe and how much they are paid monthly, NASA Public Relations Manager Philemon Shereni refused to comment, requesting questions from this reporter in writing. Sharon had not yet responded to questions sent to him at the time this report was aired. But NASA sources said some pensioners get $60 a month, with surviving spouses going home with only $30 per month, while children receive $15 until they reach the age of 18. Hearings of the Commission of Inquiry into the conversion of insurance and pensions from the Zimbabwean dollar to United States dollar have been done in 8 of the country's 10 provinces. This is designed to source information from pensioners on what the government should include when amending the Pensions Act and the insurance policies. The commission was mandated to gather information for a year and report their findings to President Robert Mugabe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
we take a closer look at Zimbabwe's ailing economy.
And Zimbabwean parents are urged to discuss reproductive health with their children.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Public schools across the Los Angeles, California area have been closed due to what officials say is a credible threat to these institutions. Officials say the threat was delivered electronically.
The United Nations Human Rights Council says it will hold a special session on violence in Burundi later this week. The session set for Thursday was called at the request of the United States and supported by 17 members of the Human Rights Council and 25 observer states.
And the Nigerian army says it has taken into custody the leader of the Islamic Movement of Nigeria after the group allegedly attacked the convoy of Nigeria's army chief. Major General Adeni Oyebade told reporters yesterday that Ibrahim Zakazi and his wife have been taken into custody after raids on at least 3 locations.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Two 2015 is coming to an end, and it has been a rough year for Zimbabweans in general. Thousands of jobs were lost as the economy contracted and industry struggled. The cash-strapped government squeezed the few viable companies in the country as the liquidity crunch continued. On the home front, many families were struggling to afford basic necessities such that many could not, or rather cannot, wait for a return to yesteryear glory if possible. For perspective on the Zimbabwean economy in 2015 and prospects for the next year, we turned to economist and founder of Economita Global Capital, Chris Mugaga, who says 2015 was a bad year all round.
I think the number of years that we could have done better in 2015, which we definitely missed out. You asked areas to do with economic growth, areas to do with the debt issue, areas to do with the banking sector, areas to do with even investor perception towards Zimbabwe. A lot of investors are very apprehensive. They don't have much confidence in the Zimbabwean economy. Some of the risks which are said to be with Zimbabwe are patent risks. So, yeah, overall, you realize that from government figures of 1.5% GDP growth, we would have done better. It's quite a disappointing year. And it's a year where jobs were not created. And it's a year where businesses were actually folding. It's a year where the issue of labor laws in the country wanted quite a number of ordinary citizens. There's no number of Zimbabwean citizens that lost their jobs in the memory of the labor law traction in the June, July period, when, you know, 3 months notice is quite very common in most companies in Zimbabwe. It was not a rough year for business. It was also a year where most people are quite excited during the 2015, knowing full well that was a number of commitments to make to the world, especially IMF, World Bank, African Development Bank. By April next year, Zimbabwe is expected to have paid about $1.8 billion to these three institutions. And you realize, given the performance of this economy, that's not a mean figure by any standard.
And going into 2016, what are your recommendations on what needs to be done to shape the Zimbabwean economy for the better?
Yeah, as business, we always recommend. It's something we do every day. It's like coffee, it's like breakfast to us, recommending. When others are thinking breakfast, we are thinking about recommendations as business. You know very well that we're talking about a debt issue in Zimbabwe. When the government to come up with a solid paper position in terms of how we are going to pay IMF, World Bank and African Development Bank. That perception, that is to pay $1.8 billion we promised in by April. No matter of credit to open up, we need to be just to be ready. The government has to clear up in its position, because it's not fair for the business to feel the effects of the government paying that $1.8 billion when you know very well that it could go into somehow result in private sector growth. We also look at the issue of labor. I think the labor law which was enacted this year is one law which is having devastating impact in business. There's no way you can expect an economy to grow when you know the labor costs are very high. So we're pushing the government to somehow tone down, to calm down, then to clamp down in terms of the law they've come up with in terms of labor. One other area we really can't forget to look at is the issue of import-export. I certainly think, given how Zimbabwe is appetite for import growth, new policy measures should be put which will promote local industry in 2015. Because if the trend which is currently coming out of imports continuously flooding the local market is to continue, there's no way we can talk of industrial revival in Zimbabwe. Industry in Zimbabwe needs an entirely kind of approach. At the moment, given the dynamics in current, which I just mentioned, you realize that it's very difficult in the long to medium run, can I call it, to compete, especially with South Africa. So we are certainly alive to the fact that there is no way we are going to do that.
Looking at what is happening in South Africa with the rand continuing to fall, is this going to affect the Zimbabwean economy?
I think what has been happening to South Africa, not only now but for years, it has naturally been affecting Zimbabwe. Either we are using a US dollar or we are not. Just the trade relations between the two countries can naturally point to two economies which are so intertwined. But as you ask, you know, the rand fall. Yes, Zimbabwe has been watching closely his business. Naturally, it's a matter of concern, especially for Zimbabwe. Knowing very well that if three foreign ministers are to come and go in the space of a week, and we are living in Iran, it will affect us. And this is affecting us, definitely. So, yes, what is happening in Pretoria is something which Iran is watching, and we are affected in definitely. So, we cannot necessarily say what's happening in South Africa is not going to change. So, all these sectors, naturally, they have an impact for a date.
in the process of this industry to grow.
Economist and founder of Economita Global Capital, Chris Mgaga, on the line with us earlier on from Harare.
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
Zimbabwean parents and guardians have been reminded of the importance of having quality time and discussions on reproductive health with their children as a way of curbing the spread of sexually transmitted diseases such as HIV, which causes AIDS. Our correspondent Safari Njema, who covered the just-ended International Conference on STIs and HIV in Africa, held in Harare, reports.
Health Minister Dr. David Parrenyatwa said parents should openly discuss reproductive health issues with their children so that they are more enlightened on HIV and AIDS. Dr. Parrenyatwa said concerted efforts in fighting the spread of HIV are vital in light of the fact that HIV infections among adolescents in Zimbabwe are the highest of all the age groups, particularly between the ages of 15 and 24.
It's so important that you do not leave adolescents on their own. And sometimes parents are actually scared of their children. They don't want to give them guidance. They think they are inferior to their children. They should continue to give guidance. But now the world is changing. There's so much internet working. And the children may be advanced in terms of what they know. But still, parents must get involved because they are genuine guardians of their own children.
28-year-old Guguletu Nyazema, who is doing a business course at a local university, echoed Dr. Parrenyatwa's sentiments that adolescents, especially the girl child, are the most vulnerable age group.
We are trying to look for ways to survive. I'll speak for the girl child. It's mainly to do with the fact that your parents can't afford to take care of you. They can only take you to school and pay school fees. Some go to school without fees being paid because they know the situation at home. So they'll be trying to alleviate the situation at home. So they'll find an older guy or someone richer who can substitute that. But unfortunately, the substitution of that comes with its own repercussions.
43-year-old Melania Chiledi, a mother of three who stays in Harare's Sunningdale suburb, says adolescents are a very difficult age group to deal with, and parents should be compassionate when they discuss reproductive health issues with them.
So even if you try and tell them that these things are not good, they won't understand you because they get too emotional when you speak about it. Because I remember once I spoke to this other lady, she was underage and I saw her doing such things. And then I said, why are you doing this? And then she said, you know me, I've no parents, so I've decided to do this so that I earn money for a living.
She says parents should reclaim their rightful place and discuss STIs and HIV issues with their children at tertiary institutions instead of leaving the responsibility to authorities at universities and polytechnics. She also says dialogue in families is an expression of love, and parents who give up on their children are condemning them to a slow death sentence.
Sometimes we might condemn the parents, but the problem is children themselves. These days, they've got a lot of full of I know. They don't want to listen and they don't want to understand and they want to experience. But once they get infected, that's when they realize that things are wrong.
World Health Organization Director in the Department of HIV/AIDS, Dr. Gottfried Henschel, told Studio 7 that adolescents need to be empowered through deriving better knowledge of how to deal with HIV.
The number of those young people, adolescents, who have actually been dying of AIDS has also increased. We have to put much more emphasis on better understanding what some of the reasons are, but really also making the tools, the interventions, the services available for young people that respond to their needs.
Dr. Henshaw said a decision should be made on the provision of condoms in schools.
In Zimbabwe, you have been talking a lot about ABC, abstinence, be faithful, but there's also the C, the condoms. So young people, we know, we can talk to them about abstinence, we can talk to them about faithfulness, but we know that there are situations where young people have sex. And if they do so, they need to be able to have condoms to protect themselves.
A local doctor, Tatenda Chigonda, said the entry of the HIV drug TVK on the Zimbabwean market offers hope for adolescents. Dr. Chigonda said they should be encouraged to be tested and to go for treatment. He said TVK is definitely a breakthrough for those living with HIV.
It has less potential for reaction with other medications. We can use it, for instance, in people with TB. Because when someone has TB, previously we were only able to use efavirenz, which would also have problems with certain population groups. But in this case, now we have efavirenz still, which we can use in the majority of people. But for those who can't use efavirenz, we are still able to use this new drug.
Dr. Parenyatwa said, through the Global Fund, governments should be able to mobilize resources to treat people who are identified early as being HIV positive. He noted that parents should encourage their children to go regularly for testing.
What I'm happy with is that there are now new WHO guidelines which say that test and treat. If you are tested, no matter whether you're an adolescent or you are an infant or you are an 8-year-old, as long as you are tested and found to be HIV positive, the new guideline says treat. So we don't wait for these CD4 counts anymore. Test and treat. We estimate that in this country, there are about 1.5 million people who need treatment.
Some parents in Zimbabwe normally don't discuss reproductive health with their children, as this will actually be done by close relatives, especially aunties. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Ntungamili and Tatenda will discuss with you on the Youth Forum about reproductive health, with a lot of emphasis on parents' role in handling this issue.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
Yes, Chris, we have one email here about someone who found a passport along Binga Road. The passport belongs to Prudence Chaira or Prudence Chaira or Chaira. Please let contact us, says the person who wrote the email, as soon as possible. We will leave the found belongings at Siyachilaba Police Station if she fails to contact them. But for direct contact, Prudence or anyone who knows Prudence, please call 263-735-204-583. The number once again, 263-735-204-583.
We hope the owner is listening, Sandy. Now to recap today's top stories.
Civil servants complain that they are still waiting for this year's bonuses 10 days before Christmas.
About 14 people have been reportedly infected with anthrax in Umzingwane district.
And the opposition questions Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa for failing to allocate funds to provincial authorities.
That's our broadcast this evening. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.